praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee served the Lord faithfully for more than 70 years, culminating with his exhaustive commentary on the entire scriptures called Life Study of the Bible. We're happy to bring you recorded excerpts from his ministry. At the end of the program, we'll give you the website where you can find out more about the remarkable ministry of these two men. But for now, we hope you enjoyed today's program. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, in verse 29, contains a well-known phrase to most Christians, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." If we've ever enjoyed this verse, we've enjoyed Christ as the fulfillment of the offerings described in the Old Testament. This realization of Christ as seen through the Old Testament in a general way is very precious to us. But even more precious is to see the details associated with many of these Old Testament offerings. For each of them displays another marvelous facet of God's Lamb and our Savior Christ. Stay with us for today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Ron Kangas has joined us again today for, I believe, what will be a classic Life Study message. Brother Ron, welcome back to our program.
I'm happy to be here, and in considering this message, I share your feeling. There's something very particular at the heart of this message that is extremely enlightening and supplying, especially for those who have the heart to serve God.
Well, Ron, Exodus 29, verses 1 through 3, instructs the sons of Aaron to take one young bull and two rams without blemish and offer them to Jehovah. We've seen so far in our look at the offerings in Exodus 29 that the bull became the first, even the basic offering, the sin offering. This offering portrays a couple of marvelous aspects of Christ, who really was the real fulfillment of the sin offering. We want to go on today and look at the two rams that were also offered, but before we do, I'd like to ask you, take a moment or two to review some of the striking points associated with Christ, the sin offering.
It really is helpful and wise to review this at this juncture. It's significant that the first offering related to the sanctification of the priests was the sin offering. And as your opening word of fellowship made very clear, Christ as the Lamb of God is the reality and fulfillment of the offerings in the Old Testament, which means that Christ is the fulfillment of the sin offering. It's no exaggeration to say that all genuinely saved and regenerated persons know that Christ died for our sins. This is the clear and emphatic word of the gospel. All of our sins were laid on his body when he was on the tree. But sad to say, many believers have not advanced in their understanding concerning the redemptive death of Christ beyond an appreciation of Christ as the trespass offering, the one who bore our sins. We need to realize that we not only have the problem of sins in our conduct, but intrinsically the problem of sin in our nature, that in the sight of God, in our fallen being, we are sin itself. We have a sinful nature. Intrinsically, we were born in sin, and we commit sins because of this indwelling sin. We sin because we are sin. If we are to serve God, we must realize what we are in ourselves and realize what a desperate need we have for Christ as the sin offering. If we have some realization of this, then we can follow Paul's word in 2 Corinthians 5 concerning Christ. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. And in Romans 8:3, we read, God sent his Son in the likeness of the flesh of sin, and then God condemned sin in the flesh. So Christ, the reality of the sin offering, is a Christ who died not only to deal with sins outwardly, but sin, the nature of sin, inwardly. Even though, by the Lord's mercy, we may not, for a period of time, sin outwardly. We need daily to have the realization that no matter how we have behaved outwardly, we are still in the old creation. Our flesh has not changed. We are still a flesh of sin. So we need Christ as the reality of the sin offering. Then we can have peace to fellowship with God, enjoy God, and serve Him.
Ron, most Christians are probably aware of at least this aspect. Christ is the Lamb of God taking away the sin of the world. And clearly this is a reference back to the sin offering that we're talking about. So surely we have to be faithful that if the sin offering is a type of Christ, then the other offerings also show us something quite significant about the Savior and the salvation itself. So it's worthwhile to go forward and get even further into the details of these offerings, isn't it?
It is. The Gospel of John and then portions such as Hebrews in the 10th chapter, it's clear that Christ came to replace, by fulfilling the types of the Old Testament offerings, with Himself. So if we see that Christ is a sin offering, then as we go on to consider the burnt offering and the peace offering, we should realize, first, we are considering Christ, and second, we are considering the Christ whom we may experience and need to experience, especially if we are burdened to serve Him.
Well, in the Old Testament, the priests laid their hands on the head of the animal being sacrificed, and by that act there was an identification. And identification is also a very real and important part of God's New Testament economy. We're going to see that in this first section.
The Bible tells us, whosoever makes to be a priest to serve God, God is going to slaughter you and cut you into pieces. Yes, Christ was your substitute. He was your replacement to bear your sins on the cross. Yet, to serve God as priest, you must be one with the slaughtered Christ. You must be one with the cut Christ, the very Christ who was cut into pieces by God. The priests need to be one with the ram to be slaughtered, to be cut into pieces, and to be washed, and to be burned. And actually, the Hebrew word means the burnt offering is a kind of ascending offering. It became a kind of a sweet savor, ascending to God for God's enjoyment. This is God's food. This is to satisfy God. Yes, it was Christ. But don't forget, we need to lay our hand upon Him. We need to be identified with Him, to be one with Him. Whatever we are, whatever we do, must be slaughtered, cut in pieces, washed, and burned on the cross entirely for God's enjoyment. Firstly, we must offer Christ as our sin offering, realizing that we are sin, and having ourselves all the time reminded that as priests of God, by our natural birth, by our natural life, we are just sin. And how could sin serve God? Impossible. You, as the person, has to be redeemed. The first ram was slaughtered, and the blood was shed. All the blood was sprinkled around the altar. This indicates when you look at the altar at that time for the burnt offering ram, you could see it tells you the entire thing is a redemption. You need such an entire redemption.
Ron, we all treasure that in God's economy, we are identified with Christ. And it's by this identification that we can experience His divine life, His resurrection life, and so many other marvelous aspects of our salvation. But What about the identification with him as the Old Testament priests were identified with the ram that was slaughtered and cut into pieces and consumed by the fire on the altar? What does this kind of identification entitle us to experience, Ron?
Let's first be reminded that here we have another picture of Christ and of our identification, our oneness with Christ through faith and in the mingled spirit, the human spirit regenerated and joined to the Spirit of God. So according to this picture, there is the ram of the burnt offering that was slain, cut into pieces, washed, and burned. Of course, Christ himself is the reality of this burnt offering. As the reality of the burnt offering, he solved our most serious problem with God, which is we are not for God, we're for ourselves. And we do not care for God to have enjoyment and satisfaction. Rather, we care for our own pleasure. That's in our fallen nature. But Christ, the God-man, cared absolutely for God. Everything he said and did was for God. So he could die as the reality of the burnt offering to solve our problem of being for ourselves instead of being for God. But we're told that this burnt offering was burned completely, and the aroma ascended to God for his satisfaction. And elsewhere, we're told that this burnt offering is God's food. As we continue to apply the type to Christ, we see that he died not only to solve our problem of being for ourselves instead of being for God, even more, he died as an offering to be a fragrant, satisfying food to God, for God's enjoyment, for God's satisfaction. We need to consider seriously the verses that speak of God's food and recognize that God is hungry out of his heart's desire to find something that will satisfy him, and that is Christ experienced by us and offered to God the Father through our spirit in worship. Now we come to the point of identification. This portion that we're considering in these series of messages is chapter 29 of Exodus, concerned with the sanctification of the priests, of the high priest Aaron, of his sons to be the priests. And so these offerings are offerings related to our sanctification, to serve God as priests, which means we are involved experientially through identification with these offerings. So now we're talking about the burnt offering. The ones who were to be sanctified, they laid their hands on the burnt offering, indicating they were one with this offering in every aspect of it. This means, just as the burnt offering, the ram, was slain, then cut into pieces in order to be offered to God, we who serve God need to realize that in order to be set apart, sanctified to serve him, we need to be one with this slaughtered and cut Christ. This is quite costly. I've never heard of or attended a so-called ordination ceremony in which the one who was the candidate for ministry was told, what you need is to be one with Christ, to be slaughtered and to be cut into pieces. But this is absolutely necessary. There is a religious and there is a natural, traditional understanding of what's involved in being prepared to serve God. But in the Word, we have a divine understanding. And according to the picture of the burnt offering here, if we want to be today's priests, really serving God in his economy, we need to be one with Christ as the burnt offering, and in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, and with Christ, we also need to be cut deeply. When we are one with Christ as the burnt offering in this way, then in the sight of God, we are intrinsically sanctified to serve him. Without it, we may do a lot of things that we say are for God, but the day of judgment very well may indicate those things were not as we supposed. God knows who is for him. God knows what is for him. God knows what kind of service, priestly service, is according to his economy. And according to the picture here, a crucial matter is that we need a burnt offering to solve our problem of being for ourselves. We need a burnt offering to satisfy God and to be his food. And in order to experience Christ as such an offering, we need to be identified with him, one with him through faith and in the mingled spirit. And this entails a real inward experience of being slaughtered and of being cut for God's satisfaction.
Ron, the unmistakable characteristic of this progression is that the light that comes on these offerings is absolutely increasing, more penetrating with each one as we look at it. We all realize we have sin, and therefore we're all happy that we have a sin offering. We may not realize that really, fundamentally, we are not for God, but there is one who is for God. There's another offering to solve that problem, and another offering to solve another problem, and it just seems to be deeper and deeper and deeper until our whole case is laid open.
It is a great mercy to realize our situation in the sight of God, mainly because we will need Christ more, we will appreciate Christ more, we will experience and enjoy Christ more. If we realize that we're sinners in our behavior, we will need Christ as our trespass offering. If we realize that we have sin in the flesh, that we are sin in the flesh, we will need and appreciate Christ as the sin offering. If we realize that we are not for God, we are for ourselves, and that we have no way to satisfy God in and with ourselves, then we are prepared to need Christ and appreciate Christ, then experience and enjoy Christ as the burnt offering. So on it goes. God turns our need into an opportunity to experience Christ for God.
Well, there's another ram present in this mix. We had the bull for our sin offering and two rams. We've touched one that became the burnt offering. The second ram becomes the peace offering, another need that we have before God. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The first ram was for a burnt offering, and the second ram was for a peace offering. The second ram was slaughtered, but not cut into pieces. Then the blood of the first ram was simply sprinkled on the altar around. But the blood of the second ram, firstly, Moses dipped his finger into this blood and also took some anointing oil. Two things added together, the shed blood and anointing oil, two things. Then Moses used these mixed two things to anoint the tip of Aaron's right ear and the tip of Aaron's son's right ear, number one. And number two, to anoint the right hand drum, Aaron's and his son's. And number three, to anoint the first toe of the right foot. To be a priest, you need such an anointed ear to listen to God. And the drum signifying to work. And the big toe signifying to walk, to move. So you need the proper hearing, listening, and the proper working, doing, and the proper walking and moving. Christ's redeeming blood plus his anointing spirit. These two mingle together, anoint you. And this is also a part of the sanctification. Then the rest of the blood was also sprinkled around the altar. From the blood sprinkled upon the altar, Moses took some blood with the anointing oil to anoint Aaron and his garments, and to anoint Aaron's sons and their garments. Now, not only his ear, the tip of the ear, the thumb, the big toe, his entire body with the entire garments were anointed. And this is the sanctification. He is now fully sanctified.
Well, Ron, the first ram was for a burnt offering, altogether for God's satisfaction, fulfilling God's need. The second ram was for the peace offering. Let's talk about this one for a few minutes. I don't want to limit you. I'd like to hear anything that you have to say on this topic, but I was quite intrigued by the unusual way that the blood was administered or utilized in this offering. Can you touch that as well?
Here we have Christ as the peace offering. Why do we need a peace offering? It must be because due to sin, there is enmity, there is discord, there is division, separation, not only involving us and God, but us and one another, the peoples. Look at the wars and the enmity among the peoples. How can we serve God if we're not deeply at peace with God and with one another according to Christ? It would be shameful, but sadly it's the situation in many instances where some are really trying to serve God, yet they haven't applied Christ as their peace offering. And even they're not fully at peace with even so many other believers through Christ as this offering. So we need him. We need him as the one who died on the cross to make peace. We need him as the one who in resurrection as the Spirit proclaims peace. And we need the one who himself is the peace of God and even more the God of peace. One thing I would stress about the blood of the peace offering is that the blood was shed and applied in a way altogether visible to the offerer. We really need to see the blood that is the basis of our peace with God. The blood satisfies the righteous requirements of God. It's for God. The blood of Jesus overcomes the enemy. But we also have a need to be assured in our conscience that our sins are forgiven, that our sin nature has been dealt with through Christ as the sin offering. All the problems we have are settled. So the visible shedding and sprinkling and application and pouring of the blood of this offering are for us to see and appreciate and know our problem has been solved through the redeeming death of Christ. We have peace through the blood of Jesus. Then there are a number of portions of this peace offering. And as time is coming to an end, I just want to point out one thing. Some portions are for God, the rich, tender, inward parts, and other parts, they're waved before God, signifying the resurrected Christ, or they're heaved up to God, signifying the ascended Christ. But other portions of the peace offering are for us. And this points to fellowship, to mutual enjoyment between God and us in Christ and through Christ. So now we have an offering that doesn't just solve the problem of sin. It doesn't just solve the problem of not being for God. We have an offering that solves the problem of enmity, but it's an offering that brings in mutual enjoyment, mutual fellowship, mutual delight. Here we not only have the problem of enmity removed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the peace offering, we now have Christ himself, and we offer this Christ to God for his enjoyment. And a part of this Christ, as signified by the picture, is for our enjoyment. So not only are we at peace, we and God in Christ, through Christ, with Christ, by Christ, have a mutual enjoyment. And this kind of enjoyment of Christ with God and before God really separates us. It makes us a particular kind of people. We not only are at peace with God, we're in a deep, intrinsic, mutual enjoyment of Christ with God. And this becomes a solid base for our separation unto God to serve him as priests. thank and praise him.
Amen. Really marvelous. We see these two initial offerings, the sin offering and the burnt offering, really primarily to take care of God's need and his satisfaction. But following in the peace offering, there is a portion for man. There is a portion for Aaron and his sons. There is a portion for Moses. In other words, all of God's redeemed who are in this identification in reality, their need, our satisfaction gets taken care of as well. But first, when we have given ourselves to God's satisfaction, which is really that most profound and meaningful offering of Christ in our behalf.
Now it's my turn to say amen and to affirm this fellowship, to serve God. Even to be sanctified to serve God is not what we traditionally or religiously suppose. We need to consider the pictures in light of the New Testament revelation of the reality and realize if we're to serve God as priests in the universal priesthood of the members of the body of Christ unfolded in the New Testament, if we're to serve God as priests in this way, we need Christ as our sin offering, as our burnt offering, and as our peace offering. Then we have Christ in our hands. We have Christ as our substance and our content. This sets us apart. We're not only forgiven, we have hands full of Christ. Now we are being sanctified, set apart, qualified to serve God according to his heart's desire.
And a final amen at my turn, Ron. Thank you very much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Let us just recommend this marvelous life study message. In fact, this whole series on the offerings, it is a rich, perhaps one of the most rich portions of the ministry of Witness Lee as he unfolded this book of Exodus in such a remarkable way. This one comes in volume number 7. We're just getting into volume 7 here. A whole series of messages now before us dealing with the offerings. They're all incredibly valuable and rich. I'd like to thank Ron Kangas for being with us. Come back very soon, Ron.
I look forward to that.
We do too. I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. These programs are based on messages Witness Lee gave when he did a comprehensive book-by-book study of the Bible, showing how Christ is life to man. Whether you're hearing these life studies via radio, online, or as a podcast, we hope you'll visit our website, lifestudy.com. There, you'll find more than 1,700 audio studies covering every book of the Bible. Again, that's lifestudy.com. Thanks again for listening.